If you were around in the 1980s, you know that song means one thing: Top Gun. Well, the classic fighter jet movie is back, and audiences are flocking to see Tom Cruise reprise his iconic role as Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
Nostalgia sells. Top Gun Maverick has already taken in over $550 million around the world since it opened Memorial Day weekend. Let's go to our man in Hollywood, KPCC entertainment reporter John Horn, is here to talk about Maverick and the slate of summer movies. John, it's good to have you back.
Happy to be here. Am I Iceman and you are Maverick? What are the roles here?
Could I please be Maverick? In fact, I've been sitting here trying to come up with like the perfect fighter jet pun that would explain that Top Gun Maverick has just broken all the sound barriers at the box office.
It is taken off. It's flying high. It's soaring.
How long has it been since we've seen a movie do that well?
Spider-Man, the latest Spider-Man movie that came out late last year, did that well. But it's a rare occurrence, especially as people are still not quite going back to the multiplex and the numbers they were pre-pandemic. So it is a massive hit on both relative and absolute measures.
I think there was some pent-up demand. The film's release was delayed by the pandemic. The producers just didn't want this film to go straight to streaming. They wanted people to see it in the theaters. What did you think of it?
It's a movie that you have to see in theaters. I can't imagine watching this movie at home. It's big, it's loud, it's got great action scenes. I am a kind of reluctant blockbuster fan, and as hard as I tried not to like Top Gun Maverick, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it delivers on story, it delivers on action. Even though it's not 90 minutes long, it is really tight. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of wasted scenes. It plays to the nostalgia factor. They bring back Val Kilmer, and it's enjoyable. And it really is a movie that you have to see in a theater, and I think that's partially why so many people are going to see it, because you can't wait for this at home. It's not going to be the same on a tiny screen.
As good as the first one?
Different. I think it's better shot. It's certainly much more diverse. They did a great job in casting both lead and supporting parts. I'd say this is just as good as the first film.
All right. Sounds good. I have not seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it. Now, it's not the only film out there either. There's some other big ones coming out in the next few weeks. Jurassic World Dominion is out this weekend. And then there's the Toy Story spinoff Lightyear. That comes out next week with Chris Evans as the voice of Buzz Lightyear. Let's listen to a little scene from that one.
Commander Hawthorne, you know how I feel about rookies.
The same way I feel about autopilots. How may I assist you?
Is there anything I can do, sir?
They don't help. They just overcomplicate things. I'm better off just doing the job myself.
Which is why I brought the rookie.
Hello?
No.
Every one of the movies we've talked about so far, including Jurassic Park, I mean, it's either a prequel, a sequel, a reboot of an existing franchise. We've talked about this before, but what's going on?
It's not good. I mean, even though you might be nostalgic for Top Gun, the issue is this, that the studios are so focused on marketability, known brands, they call it IP, intellectual property, and they're less concerned with playability. Those are the two things that drive a movie's performance. Are people aware of it? Do they know it? Is it Harry Potter? Is it Star Wars? Whatever. But then there's the issue of playability. Is it any good? And the studios used to be able to get away on good marketing for a couple of weeks. But now social media, word of mouth spread so fast that if the movie isn't any good, it drops really quickly. The other problem is that these big movies like Top Gun are consuming almost half of all the tickets sold. So there's no kind of lifting of lesser films. So we're seeing the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that means a lot of movies are not doing well. Cyrano, Men, The Northman, Ambulance, Fantastic Beasts, all of them did really poorly because movies like Top Gun are eating up more than half of all tickets sold in a given weekend. It used to be about 30% 10 years ago. Now it's half.
So what's it going to take to change that? I mean, a lot of people love those smaller films and they would go to the theaters to see them.
It's going to take them success. I mean, Elvis, Baz Luhrmann's movie is coming out in a couple of weeks. Jordan Peele's film Nope comes out in July. You know, unfortunately, those movies will be a referendum. If they don't work, if nobody goes to see Elvis, it will be considered, you know, an unworthy idea. And it's not just that giving Baz Luhrmann a musical is an unworthy idea. It's like we have to stick to remakes, reboots, sequels, spinoffs, whatever. And that's sad. So the audience has a role in this. The audience has to show up for those kinds of films, because if they don't, they're not going to get made. And that, to me, is the real crisis right now. I mean, movie theater owners are still trailing pre-pandemic levels. They are not back to where they once were. But because it's so top-heavy right now, smaller movies, if they don't work, are not going to get made. It's just going to be more Jurassics, more Top Guns, more Mission Impossibles, you name it. It's not going to be original stories like Elvis or Nope.
Let's take a minute to talk about streaming services. Netflix reported that it lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year, and they said they expect to lose more. What do you think that means for the theaters?
I don't think those people are flooding back into theaters. I think they might be checking out other streaming services like Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, or they are just not watching as much entertainment as they were before. I don't think that's a bell you can unring. I think the pandemic accelerated what was going to happen anyway. Netflix's problem is their movies weren't compelling enough. And that is, you know, coming back to what I talked about earlier, playability. If the movies aren't good, people aren't going to show up. And it's kind of amazing that Netflix is now saying, we need to make better movies, as if, I don't know if they're trying to make worse movies, but they were making so many movies that many of them were substandard, and they were able to get away with it. People would show up and watch, you know, whatever they would put out. And now, with so many different options, people are a lot more discriminating. So Netflix's problem isn't theaters, it's their own content.
John Horn, give me one more summer movie that is flying under the radar.
Again, I'm going to flag a original idea. This is a movie called Bullet Train. It's directed by David Leitch, who has some good credits behind him. It's a Brad Pitt film. It's coming out in early August. I've seen about 20 minutes of the film. It looks really, really good. And if you have kids, Bad Bunny is in it. I'm not a big Bad Bunny fan. My kid said, Bad Bunny is in it. We're going to go see it. So Bad Bunny, bigger draw right now than Brad Pitt. Trust
John,
me.
Why have you only seen 20 minutes of the movie?
It was previewed at a convention for theater owners in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, where they showed a lot of footage from upcoming films, including some from Nope, including some from Elvis. So I got a sneak peek at a lot of summer movies. Most of them kind of in one ear, out the other ear. But movies like Bullet Train, Elvis, and Nope certainly stuck around, because those are original movies, and they're really, to me, interesting and different from all of the remakes that are out there right now.
All right, we've been talking about the summer movie season with KPCC Entertainment reporter John Horn. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, and you are clear to land.